The Waini writers acknowledge and pay our respects to the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians whose ancestral lands we gather on. We acknowledge the deep feelings of attachment and relationship of the Kaurna people to country and extend this acknowledgement to Torres Strait Islander and all First Nations people. We respect and value their past, present and ongoing connection to the land and cultural beliefs.
This podcast episode includes content that is not suitable for ages 16 and under, such as swearing and sexual content.
We're on.
Welcome back to another episode of The Waini Writers. I am here with
Abby Guy.
And I am Harry Stewart. And our guest today is a creative writing and sociology graduate who really has done so much more than Abby and I have.
What? So much more.
She's featured on Adelaide 44's youth talk show Couch 44, is an actor, an author, and a trained host. So The Waini Writers are honoured to introduce our guest today is none other than Peyton Hogan. How are you, Peyton?
Hi, good. How are you?
We're great. Well, I'm great. Can't talk for Abby.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
How are you,
I'm
Abby? Good. You could be having a rough one.
No, I am also doing well.
Trapped in a room with me for a bit, and she's like, help me.
Jump into the lake. I've never seen that lake the whole time I've been here at Flinders.
You've never seen the lake?
No.
What do you mean you've never seen? What, that lake out there?
I never go there.
Well, my God, what are you doing?
For anyone who doesn't know Flinders, there's a whopping lake in the middle of the campus.
I've never come here. I'm such a terrible student.
What do you... What about when you come to campus? Do you just stay on, like,
the
inside?
Side, yeah. I don't want to walk up that hill.
Oh, that's so fair. Yeah, I don't like walking up that hill
either.
It
is a rough hill.
It is a rough hill, yeah.
We park at the top of the hill so that we only walk down it.
Yes.
That's clever. Yeah. Although sometimes we walk through the track.
On the way back, it's always up. Yeah.
Yeah, and we don't talk, don't we? We like get to the bottom of the hill and then we don't talk until we get to the top and we're halfway down the car park because we've caught our fucking breath. Yeah. And we always go, oh, God, we're unfit. And Abby says every time, you know, I used to go to the gym so much last year. So much last year, Harry. I used to be so fit last year. And now it's so hard.
Now I need to give an excuse.
So just you wait. I'll walk up towards the car after we film this and Abby will go, I used to go to the gym last year. I think it's a personality trait.
Now I've been called out.
Please, I get called out on this podcast all the fucking time.
Oh, dude. Oh.
It is a pleasure to have you here today, though, Peyton, because not only are you an undergraduate graduate from creative writing and sociology, but what did you more recently just complete?
Honours.
I want to click the clapping button, but I always click the wrong one.
I don't know which one it is. I feel like it's...
There we go. So it's amazing because honours is a huge achievement and we have spoken on the podcast about what it's like to go through that year because we said it was really hard. It was a bit of a sprint. What did you think your experience was like? What are you thinking about honours now that you've completed it?
Yeah, well, as you guys know, I was doing it part-time. So I felt like I was really able to enjoy it. But
nice.
Mainly in the first year, I had more coursework this year, my second year. I didn't have as much coursework in the first year, so it was so fun.
Oh. Yeah.
Sorry.
For our listeners there, Abby's just slid the microphone closer to our guest so that we can hear her. So talk us through what part-time was like because obviously we did it in about seven months.
Yeah. I don't know how you did that.
Yeah, we talk about how stressful it was. How was part-time? Like,
it's a lot better.
You'd advise it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously... On the one hand, you get it all done so quickly and then you don't have to worry about it. But I didn't really mind dragging it out because I want to hold off on entering the real world for as long as possible. Yeah. So keep me at uni.
That's why we've done PhDs, you see, Peyton.
Exactly.
We just thought, let's chuck another one on.
Honestly, we're on the bandwagon of eternal students.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Delay the inevitable for as long as possible.
And then maybe, I don't know, the world will end.
Yeah.
we won't have to do anything.
Don't worry about it. Yeah. Someone told me that once you do a PhD, complete a PhD, you can't accrue any more on your HECS debt. So if you do more uni, you have to pay for it. I was like, do I need to consider if I want to do a whole nother course before I do a PhD?
I did not know that rule.
I did not know that either.
Someone who wants to do more study, I'm like, ooh.
have to ask the bank for a loan.
Yeah.
Hi, sorry, I just want to write another book. So do you mind?
I've already got like 3 degrees, but
and I'm
like
getting a quote for like 20 grand for masters. So what do we think?
Is that doable?
Is that doable? Yeah.
I have no income.
Can we flex that? Yeah. What do you want, about 25 an hour?
Were you working while you were doing the part-time?
A bookshop.
Oh, yes, yeah. I know this.
Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah.
Yes.
That's casual employee.
Yeah. Bookshop's good, though. That's the type of stuff that people always talk about needing on your CV as an author.
Yeah.
They say they really look for people that have worked in bookstores.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a huge thing. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. You're unknowingly ticking boxes here.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, look at me. Success. Tick.
I work at like a big chain, so it's very retail-y. So I feel like sometimes when people are like, oh my God, you work at a bookshop, I'm always like, it's not like an independent bookstore. You know,
it's not got like the cute little dark corners where you can sit and read a book and it's like, you know, vintage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No, not that. Yeah, mass market.
Yeah. But it's still good.
Do you get a discount on books? Yeah, see, I do it for that alone. Yeah.
That would be dangerous. I like that.
I have so many unread books in my bedroom. They're just piled everywhere. And I don't think I'll ever read them. I don't know why I hold on to them at this point.
I'm a hoarder of books.
Yeah.
I don't hoard anything, but I do hoard books.
Yes. I keep them separate from the ones I've read. And I'm wondering if I should stop doing that because I kind of feel bad about myself when I go into my bedroom and I'm like, oh, all that money I've spent.
Here's a shelf with 3 books. Yeah. Here's a shelf with 50.
Yeah, see, I've got a dream of a really lovely big office, you know, like the mahogany wood office. And every time I buy a book, and sometimes I don't read them, because I think I've said on the pod before, I'm a very fucking slow reader. So I have my TBR fucking list is huge. And I always just go, oh, yes, can't wait to read that. Just never pick it up.
No.
But
it's for the library.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. That's what I say. For the library. I say to my partner as well, I say, it's all for the library, darling. Like, don't worry, because I can't have this big mansion of a library and have no fucking books for it.
No, you've got to fill it up.
Don't be ridiculous. Yeah, exactly. Fill it up with shit I'll never fucking read.
Yeah.
Which is not
someone else could come and borrow one and then put it back. It's
who knows?
A library.
People do come and borrow off me all the time. Yeah. They
do you know what I just got, which is next level? This is my own library. I got one of those embossers. And so you emboss the front of your page. It's like from the library of Abby. And I'm like,
that's amazing.
I know. Now I want more books.
Yeah, see, because you can emboss them. Yeah. Is that permanent, that embossing thing?
It is.
Like it doesn't run out. You don't have to fill it up with anything, do you?
Well, no, because it's just like, imprinting on the page. Like, it's just applying pressure.
I was like, are you trying to show something to me? Because I can't see it. Yeah. I was like,
Abby's
okay.
Just going like this.
Oh, okay. Thank you. For people that don't know what's going on, there's a shield between Abby and I can see Peyton quite clearly. And Abby's clearly doing some miming over there. And it's lost to me.
Here you go, Harry. Yeah. I am, you know.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
No, it's not permanent. No, it is permanent. Fuck me. It is permanent.
What is it? Is it heat? Like, how do you...
It just manipulates the paper, I guess.
It sandwiches the paper between two things.
Yeah.
And indents it.
Oh. Wow, that was so fucking self-explanatory.
Okay.
I've even seen how they work. I just was quite confusing. I was like, do you plug it in like a hair curler?
Does it like,
like a fucking straightener?
Like a soldering iron.
Yeah, like a soldering iron. That's what I wanted to say. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, that sounds like it could be a fucking fire hazard.
I feel like you might be breaking every book you own.
Please don't try to invent one of those.
No.
Yeah. Paper burns, guys. Like, what if you stack them on top of each other, you left a bit of heat residue, and together they start a fucking combustible fire.
Just
like,
embers
what was Abby doing? Embossing my books.
Another embossing fire caused by these fucking authors.
I don't know why it keeps happening.
Stop plugging in your... Oh, God.
Oh.
Anyway, so not only, what are you doing now, though, Peyton? What's the relief like after honours?
It's... I just feel lost. I don't know what to do. I'm going to do a PhD.
Yay.
Amazing.
So now I'm So now I'm just thinking about that all the time.
Yeah.
And I think I have to write up like a couple pages of what I would like to do.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have something to focus on. Because I don't know when I'm going to get my grade back either. So every time I think about it, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, that's the tricky part.
It's terrifying, yeah.
I know, we did have that, like, almost 6 weeks of floundering where we both applied for our PhDs and we applied with the idea of being like, oh, grades are TBA. Like, sorry, I want to apply for this, but who knows? The committee might go, worst fucking thing I've ever seen. Yeah, no fucking way you're doing a doctorate, buddy. Like,
I'm either amazing or shit.
Or shit.
Just no in between.
We'll find out.
And obviously, we've got a lot to cover because you've done a lot, Peyton. Like, not
I don't know.
No, you have, because I really like to talk about Couch 44 as well, because that's amazing. But just quickly, you're fresh out of honours, right?
Yeah.
How many days ago was it that you handed up your thesis?
I think a week ago.
A week? Yeah. See, that's incredible. And, you know, obviously your grades are still TBA.
Yeah.
And you've got your plans to go on and do your PhD. But would you recommend honours to undergraduates currently in third year that are doing creative writing?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying doing it part-time would be for everybody, but I hope that everyone's at least aware that you can do it that way, because it could be an incredible way to do it. If it's something that intimidates you a bit, or if you're not sure you can get through, then part-time is a great way to do it. But either or, I think it was such a valuable experience. I feel like I learnt so much about what kind of processes work for me with writing.
Yeah.
That I never learnt before that, which is crazy because you do 3 years of undergrad. But it's just like, that 1 or 2 years taught me so much.
Yeah.
So relieved. I was like, I'm understanding things.
It does feel like that. Once you hit honours, you're kind of like, oh my God, I've ascended. Yeah. Like,
and going on from that there, like, is that kind of, I know you said you want to be like perpetual student kind of spec and where you're going with that, but do you also feel like because you've been able to go and produce something like your honours thesis that you know that you can tackle a PhD?
Yeah. Like,
it inspires you in a way, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, you don't realise how, I feel like with writing, I don't know if you guys have experienced this in your lives, but people don't really talk much about the actual writerly process at all. Like, it kind of seems like creativity is something that just happens to you all the time, which is intimidating when you're doing it and it's so much work and you're like, I must not be doing it right.
Yeah, because you're like, where's this magic spark that's supposed to just fix all
it's
my
nowhere.
Fucking problems? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just reaching for
like,
it.
Just spirit take over me
yes.
and write this thesis and write it now.
Ready to be possessed.
Our supervisor talks to us about how, well, not to us specifically, but she has mentioned, and I said this last episode or the previous episode, I talk about Amy all the fucking time.
I love Amy.
See?
Another Amy fan.
I always... Everyone's an Amy fan once you know Amy. But where was I? Fuck.
About like, you know, like spirit possessed me. Like people think that there's a...
Yes, you're saying that a lot of people say like when you're writing novels, just write when you feel like writing. And Amy's like, no, it's a job.
Yeah.
You have to sit down and you have to make yourself write.
And that sucks. That's something, I mean, I'm still getting used to that idea of being like, you know what, today I just really don't want to write.
Yeah.
But I have to sit down. You kind of have to just fucking do it.
Yeah.
You have to write through the discomfort.
Yeah. And you can find ways to trick yourself into doing it. Like I didn't realize until we were doing our workshops together last year that just having a group of people that you're talking about this stuff with and touching base once a week, once a fortnight, whatever it is, it just helps so much to like not feel so isolated when you're writing.
How did you then feel then over the 2 years keeping up your motivation?
Yeah, because in the second year we didn't lose us, but like
I did it was rough actually.
Yeah.
But I felt like I was focusing more on the exegesis this year, so whatever. It would have helped, but I felt like I did hardly any actual creative writing this year because my creative project for the thesis, I decided to just keep writing it in a longer like novel version just for me.
Yeah.
And I was on such a roll with it last year because of things like the workshops and there were times I would co-write with people, so I wasn't just alone doing it all the time and I had a very good routine going on. And then this year all of that fell away. Like, it wasn't just the workshops, it was other life stuff just interrupted and suddenly all of it was gone and I was like, I just can't write anything this year. It's just not gonna happen.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really hard, but it's okay. I was able to still focus on the exegesis, and I'm now trying to pick myself back up and see, like, if I made it happen once before, I can make it happen again. I can recreate that routine and get back into the process a little bit.
Well, it's funny that's your experience, because we also talk about that on the pod, because for me personally, I've fallen in, I naturally go straight to the theory and the exegetical portion of any of my theses. Like, yes. I did it for honours and I'm doing it this year for PhD.
Yep.
And Abby naturally gravitates towards the creative element.
Mm. Once I hear that exegetical, much like you, I'm like, I don't know what to do with myself now.
Yeah.
I've lost my creative process. Now this is also mechanical. Yeah.
But for me, I find that the lack of structure that I've had in the PhD has helped me just focus on my work and keep things light and fluffy. But I know that that's not the same experience that Abby's had.
Yeah.
And it doesn't sound like that was the same that you had as well.
No, I feel like I'm very in between. I feel like, so last year, before I started doing anything, I focused on the pre-writing part of the process for pretty much like the first half of the year, and I loved that. I was able to get such a good idea of what I wanted to actually write about and plan the story a little bit, but not overly so, just enough to give me a little bit of structure. And then I went into the creative writing part of it, and all of that work paid off and helped so much. I felt like I'd never done that before, and I will always do that now. I will always have a good pre-writing.
Wow, yeah, okay.
What did your pre-writing look like?
It was just lots of reading and thinking about the story before. I feel like in the past you know how when you, I'm so bad at speaking.
Welcome to Whiny Writers, so are we, Peyton, so are we.
I feel like, I'm remembering, it's all coming back to me now. When you ever do hear about the writing process, which as we've said, it's like, not often, but people just talk about pantsing or planning as if that's all there is to it. You just pick one.
You're a pantser or you're a planner.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, very binary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And planning to me sounded so extreme. I was like, so you're basically writing the story before you write the story. So I thought, well, I'm not in that camp, so then I guess I'm just a pantser. So
you're either planner or you're just a pantser. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. That's the worst fucking thing ever as well. Yeah. Like, the pantser camp just look, everyone just frowns at you.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, one of them.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh. So I never planned anything, and I would just write, and I would very quickly have no idea where I was going. There's this book, I think it's called Story Genius. Would you have heard of that?
No, I've not.
No.
I haven't even finished reading it, but it literally talks about this in, like, the introduction, how there's this whole analogy where if you don't do any planning, it's like you're driving on a highway without headlights and you don't really have any idea where you're going, you're just going kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Whereas if you do a bit of not so much planning to an extreme extent, but scaffolding or blueprinting, I think is the word she uses, then you've got the lights on and you kind of, you're not going to drive yourself off a cliff.
Yeah, or
you're
you not can gonna, see the turns.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not going to drive for 5 hours and then suddenly realize you have to turn back and go to the beginning and turn off somewhere else.
Yeah, add another 40 minutes to your commute.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just turn the fucking lights on.
Yeah. Come on, guys. So I felt like that was a good perspective that I got last year, and that was how I approached writing my creative work, and I think that's what I'm going to do from now on, a bit of blueprinting. So because I was doing historical fantasy and I had a very clear idea of what I wanted the fantasy to metaphorically represent, so I focused on researching the historical period and capitalism, because that's what the metaphor was all about, and that helped heaps. So that was basically the pre-writing for me. And then I started writing it. And then every now and then I would take a break and do a bit more blueprinting, because it's still like a very organic process. Just because you're planning something doesn't mean you have to stick to it and it's very rigid. You can still change whatever you need to change and you still make discoveries along the way. So it's not, you know. So yeah, it's a lot of like back and forth between your processes, I guess, like the exegetical, the creative, just like bouncing.
You can be a planner and a pantser
you
all at once.
You could be
all at the same time. Yeah. I completely agree. Because that like we've also spoken about our processes is for writing as well.
Yeah.
I write and I delete and I write and I delete.
Yeah.
And then eventually some gold comes out of something.
Yes. Yeah. I remember that about you last year.
Yeah. So
I don't
think
know how many drafts you wrote. like
15, I think, Peyton. Yeah. And remember, like we used to, so for our listeners last year when we had a big group of us that were doing honours together and Peyton was obviously doing it part-time, but in everything that we were doing, we would kind of share our work gradually at little like parts during the months. And, you know, we'd share our creative work or we'd share our exegetical work and do little presentations on where our research was going. And I would sometimes, like over the course of the couple months, just have a whole new fucking thing.
You never knew what Harry was coming out and with, it was, really.
It's just like, well, here's some, you know, like some advice. And I remember there was one of these ones where... I think it might have been Amy actually that had said it to me. So sorry if this isn't exactly how you said it, Amy. But I'm going to quote it. Where I think I'd presented a new creative, and the research had stayed the same. And Amy had just pulled me aside very quietly and said, "Can we just maybe stick with this one?
Maybe this is it.
Maybe this is it. Yeah. For the love of fucking God, boy. Like we've got like 20 days left. Do you mind?" Let's just stick with this. You don't like it? I don't care. Like, let's just run with that. Yeah. For the love of God. And it was, it's because that's my process. It's messy. Yeah. I can't believe that I've got 2 years to do this because honestly, whoa, shit, I'm going to have 6 novels by the end and I'll just change the names of the characters and they can all be different. But it's interesting that you learnt your process as well during it because that's where I learnt my process in honours. That's where Abby learnt her process as well. You know, she had one creative element written and then that's kind of the creative element that Abby handed up. Yeah. And that was done by like June.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Like I said, like you were kind of saying the exegetical is really where I struggled. So like you did a lot of the creative in your first year. That was like equivalent to my first 2 months.
Yeah.
And then the rest was that floundering exegetical time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's like it's all in my mind. Can you just not just understand it?
Yes. Yeah, right? Yeah. I've done the thing. Yeah.
It's like I say to my partner when I'm watching superhero things that I would love to have the power just to touch the books and just absorb the knowledge.
Yeah.
Like,
flip open all the pages, they're like,
they're like just smack my face into the book and then hopefully, Then I'm like, exactly. Like, what's its name? That Indiana Jones movie when she says to the thing, she's like, "Give me all of the knowledge." And he's like, "No, you can't do that." And my family would go like, "That's ridiculous. Like, what a stupid thing to want." But I'm like, that would be me. Like, I'd go to this ancient temple and I'd be like, "Yo, alien, give me everything. Save me fuck tons of time and then just... breathe it in, boy.
I don't care if it fries my brain.
Yeah, I really don't care because then I'm gone either way. So it's better than this eternal hell that I'm in at the moment. Just give it all to me. Oh, God.
Question for you, Peyton, after that brilliant rendition from Harry. Do you want to give us like a potted, like what were you researching? What was your research area?
Well, I was... writing the sort of pre-French Revolution period through a contemporary Marxist lens. And it was historical fantasy story. So a lot of my exegetical research was about the idea we have of the real and writing the real, especially with historical fiction being seen as quite real and fantasy being seen as the opposite of real when I feel like, because we all read fantasy and romance, which are probably the two genres that get shat on all the time for being purely escapist and not real. And there's this one guy, I'm trying to remember now, I feel like the guy I'm thinking of is Raymond Tallis, and he said that fantasy is addictive cabbage. Rough. Okay.
Because there's no substance to it. It's just full of water.
It's just
that's so bizarre.
I know. But I'm like, I've been reading this shit all my life.
I wish cabbage was addictive. I'd be way healthier.
It's so true.
Hell, yeah. I wouldn't be getting my face relayed if I was eating so much cabbage. Jesus Christ. I feel a lot fucking better.
Yeah. So I kind of hate this idea that fantasy is seen that way, like it's not real.
Yeah.
And I know that with my story, I was very much trying to write a, you know, anti-capitalist story, blah, blah, blah. But all books, no matter what the author is trying to do, all of them have really important ideological information in them, whether or not you're looking for it or reading it for it, you are just internalizing it anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, that was sort of what I was.
That's so interesting because all I, like, this sounds so, all I recalled was, like, French Revolution.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I.
I just remember the church.
Because you were doing your creative while you were talking to us.
Don't worry, I didn't know how to explain any of those thoughts until, like, 3 weeks ago. I was
That's so
good. Got it.
It's that
push.
Yeah, that's when I wrote my thesis.
At the end, when you realize this all needs to make some sort of sense, you're like, what do I do with any of this? Yeah, and then it just comes. It's like an epiphany.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't happen for everyone. No. I'm not just saying, hey, guys, just flounder for the first year of your
honors. Yeah, it'll be fine by the end.
And then 3 weeks in before submission, it'll all just come together.
Just have faith.
Don't
even do anything.
Yes.
Just sit back. Relax.
And it'll write itself. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. The spirit of creativity will flow through you and all of your problems will be magically fucking solved. Lies. Liza Minnelli.
Oh my God. I was about to say that and no one ever knows where it comes from and they think I made it up and I'm like, yes, I do.
Yes. I'm a comedic genius. Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh.
Well, we just made it up.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I believe you.
You were possessed by the same greater spirit. You know, I made a joke a couple of weeks ago to Abby when I was taking some little vitamins in my thing. And Abby goes to me, I said, one puts me up, one puts me down. One keeps the demons from running all around as I was like putting the pills in. And Abby goes like this, ha, that's funny. But I'm not giving you any credit for them for that because I know that you didn't make that up. And I went, yeah, I know, it's from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And she goes, ha, ha.
Okay. Yeah, I was just like, that's a really funny thing for you to say, but I know it wasn't you.
But I know it wasn't you, so no laughs for you. I'm laughing at the content. Yeah. That reminds me so much of us just then. Abby's like, funny, but also, yeah, I don't think you guys have made that
so
up.
So Abby doesn't think you're capable of being funny is what I'm hearing.
That's what we get, yeah. And that's what there's this like, yeah, there's just this mutual antagonism between Abby and I, which just keeps the podcast energy flowing high. Yeah.
You need a bit of underlying tension at all times.
Exactly,
to raise
yeah.
the stakes.
And it's, you know, yeah, it's the gay and the heterosexual, you know, it's just
the keeps gay things, and the heterosexual. It's just always an underlying war.
War, yeah, exactly, yeah. You're the norm. Yeah. It's like the French Revolution. See?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's the guillotine.
Whoa. Yeah.
Well,
it bring it back. Bring it back.
The guillotine had to be brought up.
Yeah. It had to.
So, Peyton, not only that, bringing this fucking back. Not only have you just done your honours, right, and you have done your undergraduate degree with creative writing and sociology as well, but you've been involved in something called Couch 44.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about Couch 44 and what your role has been in it?
Well, Couch 44, there are two seasons of it now. It's a locally produced and directed talk show program. Mm-hmm. So it's on Channel 44, so Couch 44, Channel 44. And Maggie Siegertz is the director producer. She just won an award for it, actually, which is so cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. I was involved in that.
Yeah. It's like, whoa. So basically, I was just a host. So in the first season, I did a whole bunch of shorter interviews, and each interview would be in an episode. And then this most recent season, they changed up the format. So there are actually more hosts doing interviews and we all just do one big interview and we all have our own episode kind of thing.
That's, wow.
Yeah, but they've got like live music in them and little, what are they called? When a journalist goes out into the world and asks questions. What is it?
Like live reporting, like on the streets.
On the streets, that kind of vibe. Yeah. There's probably a word for it. I don't know.
I couldn't tell you.
I've forgotten. But yeah, so there's like all these little segments in each episode.
Incredible. Yes. So how long have you been involved in that for?
I think we recorded the first season maybe a few years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
trying to think.
This
now.
Is why I was nervous for having Peyton on the pod, because Peyton's a host officially. Yeah.
Well, that's why it was in the introduction that I wrote as well. I was going to say, and a trained host. Like, we've got somebody that's coming on that's going to either pick us to shreds here and be like, what the fuck are these questions?
No.
Yes. Or he's going to leave here like, my God.
Or just as manic as we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was shitting my pants, especially the first season, because I had to do so many interviews. I was like, so nervous. Oh my God. I knew some of the people, but not all of them. So it was just, wow. Yeah. I'm amazed I could even speak at all. But yeah.
So where can our listeners find? Where can our listeners find Couch 44?
It is on. There's a name for, let me just see, because there is a, like an online channel that you can actually watch all of them, because it's on channel 44, but obviously that's just like live TV. So bear with me.
We're just add some music. Yeah. Here's elevator music.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice to know that we're doing a good job, isn't it, Abby?
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. You really are.
I feel like we've been, crowned by someone who actually knows what they're doing.
Yeah, somebody that actually can do it and do it. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Like, here you go. You guys are not shit. So there you go. It's nice to hear after a couple episodes, after nearly a full, let's call it a season, that we're not, that we haven't fucked up.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Slaying. Beautiful. Yeah. Here we go. ctvplus.org.au.
There you
beautiful.
Go.
Beautiful. If you want to see
Couch 44.
More of Peyton.
Yeah.
And a lot of other people who are probably much better than me. TV.
And a lot of other people.
And bands. You can see bands.
Well, because it goes through all of the stuff that's going on in Adelaide, right? Like, it's through all of the art scenes. You've got music and you've got art, like actual artists, like painting and drawing artists. Yes. Yeah, and stuff like that as well. Yeah.
I always am the one interviewing mainly people in, like, the acting, filmmaking realm. So I think the...
And why would that be, Peyton?
Oh, I might have a little something to do with it. I've done a little bit of acting.
What the fuck?
Maybe just because I've acted in a few things.
Just a little bit.
This is really wild. This is really wild to me. I'm so sorry I interrupted you. But I was scrolling on my Facebook one day. Oh, and I think I'd only met you through like our Teams meetings. And I'm scrolling on Facebook and I come across an Udi ad.
Oh my god,
and I'm like, I know the person wearing that hoodie, and it's freaking Peyton.
There was another person that I knew that was in that was in an hoodie ad as well, and I was like, look at these fuckers guys.
I think I sent it to Peyton, like, is this you? Like, you know, this you?
As I was doing them, I did not think about the fact that people would see them, and then I would get messages from people who, not you, but like other people who had never spoken to me in like 10 years messaging me, being like, is this you? I'm like, sure is.
Yeah, shit. There's me in my large Sherpa hoodie.
They're really good. They're not sponsoring me, but I love my hoodie.
Oh, I love my hoodie
as well.
Yeah. So comfortable.
Well, we've all got hoodies.
Yeah, it's a South Australian brand as well, is it not?
Hoodie, yeah. It is. Yes.
So, there you go.
They're taking over the world.
Support SA and so buy an hoodie. And hoodie,
support us. We'll wear it during a pod.
Oh my god, that's so true.
Yeah, we've got one of your, one of your campaign models in the studio. So I think the next logical step is that we get Udi
to get Udis.
Sponsor us. Yeah, maybe a wine red Udi. How about that?
Oh, a wine Udi, an alcoholic Udi,
an alcohol
Udi.
An alcoholic Woody, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. That sounds very off.
Like Andy. Buzz.
Oh, that Woody.
Where are you, Buzz?
What? You went to Buzz Lightyear, Woody.
What? So who are you going with?
Oh, so many double meetings.
To me, it was an innuendo.
Wow, the gay guy doesn't get the dick joke.
I wasn't
going to
say it.
I'm glad we were on the same page, and then you were like, Andy, and I was like,
oh, yes.
Yes, Woody, the doll. Yes.
All I could think about
cowboy.
Was a snake in my boot, et cetera.
There's a snake in my boot.
Woody, you're drunk.
Woody, you're pissed again.
Put the snake away.
Oh, no.
No.
I think there's an innuendo on every single episode of this podcast.
Good.
And there seems to be a shockingly large amount of them today. Oh, my God. Jesus. Well, I think it might be a good idea if I give Peyton our absolutely classic whiny writer's tradition for our guests. So
you're our second guest.
Oh my god.
And we have a tradition at the end of the episode. We have a tradition now at the end of it. We did it once and we thought it worked quite well. Nice. So we have a segment at the end here called Rapid Fire Questions.
Oh crap.
And I would say that Harry and I have done them too, and so we know how it feels, but we did it over a full episode.
Yeah, so we had about 20 minutes per question.
Yeah. We're giving you like a second. So
oh dear.
Harry's gonna rapid fire some questions at you and you're just gonna answer them.
And you answer straight off the bat and we see how we go.
Yeah.
And once these are done, then we like to tangent off of questions as well.
Okay. But yes, you know, there is a very final question which you can spend some longer time on if you like.
Which you are more than welcome to spend a long time on. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you can tell us whether this was a shit idea or not.
But ladies and gentlemen, listeners and fans.
Where are you going with that? And
I don't know.
Whiny
community at large. Right.
Yeah.
And whiny, and drunks.
And drunk authors.
And drunk authors, yeah. So authors. Yeah. This is our second official round of rapid fire questions. Peyton Hogan, are we ready?
You're fine.
Three.
You're fine.
Two. Okay. One. What is the best book you've read this year?
Oh, the Juliette Marillier, I'm pretty sure it's the Seven Waters series. That book.
Oh
so
my
good.
God. Perfect. I love that. Cry. Wow. Yeah. What are you currently reading?
I'm currently reading Big Swiss. I've forgotten the author's name.
Yeah, that's totally fine. Name a book that didn't live up to its expectations.
Oh no.
Time's ticking.
Oh no. I feel like this one is going to be so controversial because I'm a huge fan of this author and I know you guys are too. And I'm probably the only one who feels this way. But Emily Henry's most recent book.
Happy Place.
No.
Oh, you're about to create two enemies.
No. Isn't there a newer one? But I think it's because of me because it's a second chance romance.
Is it? Oh.
And I don't really get into those.
Is it book club?
As someone writing a second chance romance, I'll try not to be.
Oh, no.
Funny Story?
That's the
I literally
one that
don't
hasn't
know
been
what
released,
I'm talking about.
No, but
it's one of them.
I think you might be right. Happy Place?
And the character's names are Wynn and...
No, I love that one.
Oh.
People we meet on vacation?
It's the one where they have...
Rapid-fire questions
about?
Has turned into a debate. Right,
yeah. Well, yeah, I know, because at the moment that Peyton said, and I think you guys might disagree with me on this one, I was like, here we go. We haven't had a good fight on the pod in a while.
Maybe it is. What am I talking
about? Thinking it might be Happy Place, because that's second chance romance. It's about, if I tell you the plot, you'll know, right?
Probably.
Happy Place is, they broke up previously in the past, and they're getting back together now, and they're at the holiday home.
That is the one.
Oh,
that's fair. Look, opinions are opinions.
Moving on, next question.
It's my fault. I'm the problem.
Opinions are opinions. But I say we wrap this episode up here, Abby.
Bye, babe. Love you.
I'm gonna get chased out of here with
and just make sure we follow her to the car. Fighting in the parking lot. What are you currently working on?
I'm going to get back into writing the book version of the honours thesis.
Oh, wow. Yeah, amazing. So you're going to expand that story out, are you?
Yeah.
Wow. My God. What is your favourite piece of your own written work?
Oh, my God. Probably my honours thesis, I guess.
Yeah. It's a baby.
It is. It's nurtured with love. Like, it really is. Like, you raise that thing.
Spent
yeah.
2 years on it.
You really do. It starts with, like, one finger and, like, a funny nose. And then you're, like, and then you build it into, like, a fully formed child. You're like, oh, my God.
Tell everyone it's beautiful, even though they look at it and it looks like lasagna.
Yeah, 100%. Sorry if you heard that as well. That's just Abby grabbing a Tic Tac.
Sorry.
If you could tell young Peyton one thing you've learned in your research and career, what would it be?
Oh, just got to figure out how your brain works, Peyton. That's all you need to know. Don't worry about everyone else.
That's really beautiful. Do you know how your brain works yet?
I'm still learning.
Yeah.
But I know a lot more than I used to. So.
It's kind of comforting, though, when you kind of start to grasp that you think things like how you do.
Yeah.
And you really feel it.
It's such a relief. Yeah. And seeing that everyone is like that, like everyone has to, everyone that I know, I guess, I see that everyone has to go through a process of figuring out how they should do things and how they do things best. It's comforting.
Yeah, it is. I completely agree. And I think, honours is trial by fire.
Yes.
And even though it's yours was spread over 2 years, ours was a couple, mm-hmm. 8 months, it's still trial by fire.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you hand up something that you've worked so hard on, and it's the first time you hand it up to a group of people that then make a big decision.
It's experts.
Yeah. Experts, exactly. Like, it's not like an undergrad when you can hand up a story and just go, credit's a credit.
Yeah.
You know, like, this time, and especially for you, because you want to go on to do a PhD.
Yeah.
You know?
Pressure.
And then you get these opportunities to go in and get scholarships and all sorts. But, yeah.
Yes.
It really is trial by fire. And it's a hard thing to explain to people unless you've gone through and actually physically done it yourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just know we understand you, Peyton.
Thank you.
We get you.
I feel seen.
Yeah, you feel seen. You should feel validated.
Emily Henry incident.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. You can just like Emily Henry book. That's all good.
It's all right. That's come up again.
I love all of her other books.
Oh,
anyways.
I didn't like Book Lovers.
Okay.
Yeah, see, we didn't like Book Lovers. Yeah.
I feel there's balance now.
Yeah, it's yeah. You didn't like Happy Place. We didn't like Book Lovers. Everything's
fine.
Leveled.
Yeah, it's fine. We could just forget any of that happening.
Yeah. Peyton loves Happy Place.
Yeah. But we don't like Book Lovers.
Yeah.
And what are your plans for over summer? Are you gonna rest, or are you gonna keep working on the extended version of your honors thesis? Do you wanna step away from writing?
I think I want, because I've had pretty much all of this year where I felt so incapable of working on my book, basically, I'm keen to get back into that. I reckon this will be a good time for me to dive back into it. Yeah,
that's really good. That's a nice mindset, because I personally stepped away from writing for about 3 fucking 4 months.
Oh my god!
And then I came back and I was like, whoa! I've kind of forgotten how to do all this stuff.
Yeah, I picked up books. Yeah, I found it was such a good time to pick up books that I wouldn't have been able to read during my honors because they don't like matter.
Yeah, because you're so single.
It's like free time focused. Now. Yeah, free time.
Well. Yeah. Yeah, pick up the book and it's light again. It's not heavy. You're like, I can read this.
Oh my god, I'm reading a unicorn YA. It doesn't matter.
I'm allowed to do this? The fuck? <Yeah. laughs> It is rare. It's a weird experience. Yeah.
Oh.
My god. But look, we've managed. Yeah. We've all managed and
look
we're all here.
Now.
And fingers crossed you're going to come and do a PhD with us next year.
That would be amazing.
I think you should. Do you have any ideas on what you want to study once you get to the PhD?
I really have been struggling with this because I feel like I have an idea for the creative and I know a topic and it's like health and wellness and femininity and stoicism and masculinity.
Ooh.
Because I feel like they're connected.
You'd fit right in.
You know what I mean? Slay.
Yeah. Like, oh, do we have a spot for you?
Yeah. As I say, all we talk about at the moment is masculinity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of big queer focuses as well, which is really
cool. Yeah. I feel like I read I read this one article about neo-stoicism and hyper-masculinity or whatever, and I was like,
hyper-masculinity.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You're just getting us excited.
You're getting us excited about, I've never been so excited about academia until my PhD.
Yes.
Now we live and breathe this shit.
Live and breathe it.
Live and breathe it. It is exciting. Well, Peyton, I think that's pretty good.
Is that the end of the rapid fire questions?
Yay!
That's the end of rapid fire questions. Well, you've passed with a pinch.
I wasn't answering them. I'm so sorry.
that's okay.
That's perfectly fine. Yeah.
We kind of derailed them as well. Instead of throwing the next question, we were like, whoa. contextualize, please.
We have questions about your question answers.
We will. We're going to dive in on that one in a second. Because wrong. No, I'm joking. Well, I feel like that's been a wrap on a lovely another episode of The Whiny Writers.
Amazing.
Peyton, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
I know there's this a messy, so like very like, you know, run with it kind of format to this show. And I know that some people like things that are a little bit more structured. So it can feel a bit like.
Next time I'll give better instructions on where to where to find the room.
Yeah, great idea, actually, yeah.
I'll ask at an earlier time than as I'm leaving the house. Maybe that would be better.
I also think it's helpful if Peyton starts to come on campus.
The fucking lake is. I was like, Peyton arrives, and she's like, all right, this is where I am in this car park. And I was like, cool, I'm standing next to the whopping lake in the middle of the campus. And Peyton's like, where are you?
I was lost on campus. I still have that app on my
phone. I was like, where's car park 15 and why can't I see Peyton?
And if you look at the map, Peyton, there's an enormous
lake in the middle.
3 kilometers stretch of water. That's, yeah. Pretty hard to miss.
I should do a walk around at some point.
Who knows? How many years have you been here? What, 4? You've
too
just
many.
We'll have to introduce you to the campus.
Yeah, maybe in your PhD, you can come by our office and we'll show you around
the city.
Yeah, we will. You won't see this campus anymore.
Oh, who knows that? She's going to ask. Next when we're in the city, Peyton's going to ask where the River Torrens is.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
What is that? There's a stretch of water around here.
Have you seen the train station that's across the road from the campus? Dane.
Wait, it's
right
there.
I don't know where to find it.
Guys, give me a hand here. Thank you so much for coming on, Peyton. We hope that you've had as much fun as we have.
So much fun.
It's been incredible. And it's so good to see you again. So good to talk to you.
Yes.
And it's so nice to know that you're on the other end of the tunnel.
Yes.
It is refreshing. Congratulations.
Congratulations again.
Freedom.
Thank you so much for listening to us, guys. This has been another episode of The Whiny Writers. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.